British journalist Douglas Fraser, political editor in Edinburgh for The Herald, says the British public has tended to take a stiff upper lip approach in response to the latest terrorist threat.
Terrorist threats are nothing new to Britain. We've faced them really since 1969 and the start of the Troubles in Northern Ireland, and very soon after that the IRA's campaign of bombing came to the British mainland. And there's been a gradual erosion of civil liberties over that time, and people have become aware of the precautions they have to take, particularly in the big cities, and London above all. So I think this was clearly a major stepping up, but it met with a stiff upper lip as well as a certain amount of scepticism about the seriousness of the threat.
That scepticism within the British public, particularly regarding the timing of the announcement about an alleged terrorist plot, also has a political component, Douglas Fraser suggests.
It's clear that there have been a number of plots that these intelligence services claim to have uncovered. On this occasion, they've uncovered something they say would have been very major, and they are taking a great deal of credit for it by ramping up the level of public concern about the threat. Politically, it's important in that it comes ahead of an attempt by Tony Blair's government to return to an issue that were defeated on before, which would increase the length of time for which people can be detained to 90 days in the case of alleged terrorist offences. But there's also, I think, a time coming fairly soon where Tony Blair will be stepping down as Prime Minister, and the Home Secretary, John Reid, has certainly taken the opportunity while Tony Blair has been on holiday to raise his profile against what I suspect may be a leadership campaign.
British journalist Ian Williams says there may be an element of anti-Americanism that plays into the public scepticism, which does not detract from the seriousness of the terrorist threat.
The governments of the US and the UK have both cried wolf so often that I think people examine incidents like this and think, even if there's a real plot, is it possible that the timing of its unfolding was politically motivated? And I think there's a feeling in Britain that there are few lengths to which Tony Blair will not go to help his friend in the White House. People in Britain, they look at the weapons of mass destruction. I mean, on the other side, people in Britain know from Hitler's bombs through the IRA, the threat is a real one.
Douglas Fraser of The Nation says there has been a lively debate in the British Muslim community about how to handle threats of terrorism.
The government has gone to the Muslim leadership to say that they're going to have to be much more open about the threat that exists within their own community. The government is aware that the policing of Muslim communities within Britain has to rely on the support of those Muslim communities. You can't go to war on terror by antagonizing the very people who are going to be closest to where the threat lies. And the government knows that it has to get people on board, particularly when it's homegrown and very difficult to detect. There's a conversation the government has been trying to have, particularly stepped up after the series of bombings on the 7th of July last year.
Douglas Fraser notes that some of the young men taken into custody at that time were radicalized through universities where there were active cells.
It's not the uneducated and it's not necessarily the poor, but there is a message there to which young Muslim men seem to be very attracted, of brotherhood, of solidarity, and of injustice to their brothers and sisters, particularly in Palestine, which continues to be a huge and very effective recruiting sergeant for the jihadist cause. In Britain, that has been made worse by Tony Blair's getting very close to the United States on the Iraq war, and it is felt not doing enough in the past few weeks in criticizing Israel's position, both as regards to the Palestinians and in the Lebanon. It's just piled more and more anger within these Muslim communities in the UK, to the UK government, also directed at the US government.
Prime Minister Blair's alliance with the White House in the Lebanon crisis and in Iraq has inspired some Muslim leaders to argue, in a recent open letter, that British foreign policy has contributed to the rage of young British-born Muslims, a rage that in turn could lead to the kind of terrorist plot that was uncovered last week. Other analysts and British policymakers dismiss this argument, saying that even if British foreign policy induces anger among British-born Muslims, it neither justifies the use of terror nor causes terrorism. British authorities have as yet released little information about the identity of those suspects taken into custody last week. Community Secretary Ruth Kelly has said that a battle of hearts and minds must be won by working to address what she called the terrorist and extremist elements sometimes found within the Muslim community. For International Press Club, I'm Judith Latham.